hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I am hanging out at the Miami International Boat Show. Yes, we're in South Florida today, doing a lot of coverage for our World of Boating show. You know, we do a radio show about things that happen topside here at our little radio production facility as well. We're down here covering the Super Bowl of boat shows, the Miami International Boating event. And, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of dive things going on here as well. We're at the beginning of the show recording some segments for the boat show, and while we're here, you know, I run into some of my dive friends because there's a lot of synergy, there's a lot of crossover between the diving and the boating world. A lot of times you need a boat to get to your favorite dive spot, especially down here in South Florida and in the Keys. And I have Captain Marlon Scott, who helps me out on the World of Boating, with me here. How you doing, Scott?
Good. I'm hot, though. You know, it's 80-some degrees here in February. Anybody out there, you know what? Miami in February is something incredible. Make sure you put it on your calendar next year for the International Boat Show. What a blast. And we had some great stuff going here with some music. Also, very islandy music, for sure.
Yeah, in between all the boating exhibits and things like that, and some diving things, we run into some of our friends. And, of course, we have Eric Stone, who is one of the scuba dudes, and also he tours all over the world, for that matter, especially playing boating events like this in the Strictly Sail section of the Miami International Boat Show, where they feature sailboats and that kind of things, is Eric's hangout every year for the Miami show, and he's with us right now. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Loving the beautiful weather, and I'm hanging out at my favorite bar on, you know, here at the boat show. It's great.
Yeah, Eric has his own little boat show bar here at the Miami International Boat Show at the Strictly Sail section. We're at what? Biscayne Bay? What is this place?
This is considered Bayside, and we're on the Strictly Sail side of the boat show. There's a powerboat side and a sailboat side, and we're on the sailboat side.
Yes. Now, obviously, Eric is playing his tunes, and you can check him out at boatsongs.com. Or, of course, you can pick up one of the Scuba Dude CDs there at scubaradio.com and in his and at his website. And he's here playing some of those songs for the boaters and the exhibitors here at the boat show. And you set up a little bar and just hang out, play your tunes, take a break, which you're on break right now in between, and catch up with friends. And what do you got? You got a cocktail there in your hand there, buddy.
Some fan just handed this to me, so I said, okay, I'll drink it.
Fair enough. That's how it works here at Eric's bar at Strictly Sail. Now, Eric, you know, obviously you're a diver as well. You're one of the scuba dudes. Are you playing any of your scuba dudes songs here? Do you surprise the boaters every now and then with one of your, is that a Moray in your pocket type of tune, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, man. They love that stuff, too. Even if you're not a diver, you can still dig that CD. I mean, a lot of boaters that don't dive just relate to the songs anyway. You know, it's funny stuff.
Absolutely. Now, your home base of operations for the longest time was the Florida Keys, and then you moved out, of course, you're up there around Destin and stuff, but lately you've been hanging out, is it St. Thomas or British Virgin Islands? Where is it exactly?
Yes.
Okay, well, just that whole general vicinity in the Caribbean, right?
Correct. I have a three-bedroom apartment in St. Thomas that I have up on Crown Mountain, and then I play six nights a week in Joost Van Dyke, which is a small island across from Tortola, so I have a little functional studio apartment over there as well.
Now, you were at the DEMA show with us in Vegas last year, playing your songs to all the exhibitors at that show, and we catch up along the way on the phone and at these events like the boat show and that kind of thing. What did you do out in out in the British Virgin Islands there? Did you make some connections from DEMA and maybe visit some of your friends you made there at your base of operations and go diving with them, or what?
Well, yeah, actually, over on Yost, I met a guy that runs a dive shop over there on Yost Van Dyke, and he wasn't at DEMA, but one of his mates were there, one of the guys in his crew were over there, and so I hang out with them quite a bit and do some diving. And then, of course, you know, I used to be a captain for Admiralty Dive Center, which is in St. Thomas, so anytime I'm home and I want to go diving, it's a ring away, you know.
Right. Now, are you still doing the captaining thing for the dive operation over there, or is that kind of like you don't have time for that no more?
You know, I'm playing six, 7 nights a week, almost 7 nights a week every week. So
you're open during the day to dive as much as you want or take people out, aren't you?
Most of my gigs start at 7 o'clock at night, so all day long, you know. But, you know, I'm over in Yost Van Dyke most of the time, which I can't run a boat from over there, you know, if I'm working, if it's out of St. Thomas, you know.
Well, I don't know that at all because I have no idea what you're talking about. But I understand that there must be some geographical reason that keeps you from doing that, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, it's about 20 miles away, and you just can't go back and forth every single day, and, you know, and the time factor is what it is, really, you know.
Got it. Now, what about the diving that is there? Is it pretty cool to what you've done in the Keys? And, you know, we've been to the Caymans together and done some things there, and I know you've dived around the world. What is the diving like there for people who haven't been?
Well, I found some exceptional sites that I've been there for years, going for the years, and I've dove like all the sites that everybody knows about, and they're okay, you know, like the Rhone is awesome, but I found some little sites off the beaten path, like Cow and Calf Reef that I just absolutely love, and off the island of Livongo, or Love and Go, as it said on my CD, there's a beautiful, like a wall, I guess, and it just, you can circle this giant rock that sticks out and just do circles all the way down it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Now, you mentioned the Rhone, which is a very popular dive site in that part of the world. That's where they filmed The Deep, or a lot of underwater scenes for The Deep. Did you just go mark that off the list? Is that like the tourist dive spot, I'm guessing? Because that's the one I hear about the most, you know, from that part of the world.
Well, it's definitely the number one wanted to, you know, dive site for new divers to go there. It's just, you know, once you've done it a few times, it's a wreck, you know. And if you're into wrecks, you know, it's still a very good dive. I'm not much of a wreck diver unless I'm looking for gold.
Well, exactly, yeah, which you've probably done that too. I know you hang out with Bob Bitchin from Latitudes and Attitudes, and he's kind of, you know, delving in that world a little bit here and there. Actually, at the boat show, we were running into the Mel Fisher group on our boat show, and we talked to them. They've invited me to go down to Key West and go find some gold, you know, off the coast of Key West from the wreck of the Atocha. Have you ever done anything like that?
I've never dove the Atocha. That would be awesome. But you remember when we were at DEMA, I ended up buying one of those underwater metal detectors.
Oh, that's right. So have you put it to work? Have you found anything other than bottle caps and annoying little pieces of, you know, scrap metal or what?
I found 67 cents.
So that was six cans?
That was like a dime, a nickel, a quarter.
Yeah, no Spanish reals, no silver coins, just real U.S. American, chucked it all over the side kind of stuff, huh?
Pretty much. I did run into, when I was looking for that, I did find a bunch of clay pots that came off a ship and an anchor. So I know there's some stuff down there, but it's got to kind of, you got to be persistent and stay with it. You know?
Yeah, well, it's about the journey. It's about the search. It's not about the reward, or is it?
It's, well.
Yeah, exactly. You want your gold, you want it now. I hear you. But, yeah, you're in a part of the world where you might stumble into something like that, right? There's a lot of shipwrecks and stuff over there, right?
It's one of the probably richest, besides maybe the Carolinas, what I understand, richest wreck centers there are. Because, I mean, Blackbeard used to go into Soper's Hole and anchor there, and, you know, there's a lot of ships out there. There's people that, you know the word bank. You know,
I've heard of banks. They're being bailed out right now.
Yeah, well, the word bank came from the bank of the side of the, you know, the island. People would put their money in the bank, like up high off the water in the bank.
Really? Like a hole in the bank?
Yeah, so you may find gold like on an island, not even looking for gold, not underwater, but maybe in the bank, like after some erosion, or you just stumble across it, you know. So you never know. There's stuff put there for years and years, and like head of household people would put all their money there, hide just their own money. And then they die. Nobody knew where it was.
Nice. So you got, it's an underwater metal detector that you got there at DEMA, right?
Yeah, you can use it on land or underwater.
Okay, so have you taken it underwater? Is that where you found your stuff, or were you just like searching the beach areas?
Both, actually.
A little bit of both. Got it. You just got to find the right spot so you can find something really cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, where else are you headed? You're here in Miami for a few days, entertaining all the boaters here at the Miami International Boat Show. But what about from a diving perspective? Are you just heading back home, and then you'll just fit a few dives in during the day and between gigs kind of thing? Or you got anything on your radar that might be pretty cool?
Well, I'm going to probably pretty much just dive in the Virgin Islands for a while. I'm down here just, I have one extra day, And I'm going to go down to the Keys and check on my bus, but I'm probably not going to have time to go diving.
Check on your bus. It's still parked down there, your tour bus?
Yeah, it's down in Marathon.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's been Captain Scott's part of the world. Maybe we got to talk. We got to get everybody together here. Or maybe you got to move it up to Orlando in time for the DEMA show, because maybe we get you up there to perform this year in Orlando.
Well, DEMA would be good, man. I'd like to do DEMA again. That's right around my birthday again, I guess, 1st of October, right?
Actually, I think it's 1st of November this year. They moved it back a little bit as opposed to, later in October. I think it's the 1st of November, but I don't know. We can go back and check. DEMA.org. You can check it out and find out about the DEMA show. But yeah, we can do that or maybe sync up at one of these other boat shows. Where are you heading to after Miami?
Well, I'm going to go back, and I don't come back to the mainland until about middle April, and I go to the Oakland Boat Show.
Okay, yeah, Oakland Boat Show is a big one, very similar to this, isn't it? That's kind of like the West Coast strictly sail, big sailing event kind of thing, isn't it, or what?
That's pretty much the largest sailboat show on the West Coast.
Yeah. Are you going to do any diving while you're out there? You know, I'm heading out there, too, for the Long Beach Show in June. I've been wanting to get out to Catalina Island. You're within a... You know, shouting distance of that place from Oakland, aren't you? Or am I totally off?
You're pretty off there.
Yeah, I figure. See, I don't know any geography, but I know it's on the left side of the country.
That's correct.
Okay, so from Oakland, where would you go from Oakland to dive then?
I wouldn't. It's freaking cold.
Is that up there by Santa Barbara? Is it that far north or no?
Way more north than that.
It's up like San Francisco, Carmel, Monterey. Eventually, I'll get it right.
Can you say 52 degrees?
That's the water temp?
Yes.
So can you say warm water wuss?
You pretty much got it. If I can't dive in shorts, I ain't diving.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, they got the aquarium. You know, you can go to one of the local aquariums and kind of get a picture of the underwater world. That's what I did in Long Beach.
Yeah, the aquarium, that's my drummer works at. You know, there's a diver there, Gary Haas.
Yeah, which aquarium? In Oakland?
The Monterey Bay Aquarium, the main one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful place. Yeah, they got a lot of safety divers that listen to the show, I hear from every once in a while.
Right, and that's what Gary does. He does the feeding shows, and it's also 52 degrees.
In the aquarium, yeah, because it's fed from the ocean water, right?
Correct, and he wears a full dry suit and everything, so they can have that stuff.
Yeah, but that, you know, you would like to dive the aquarium at Monterey, wouldn't you? I would. I'd do that. I'd figure out a way if they could put me in like a submarine.
No, you know, if I could get a dry suit and have the privilege to dive in the Monterey Bay Aquarium with all those wool fields and stuff, I'd definitely be there.
Yeah, there's stuff to see for sure. And, you know, I've done one cold water dive there last year in Chicago, and it wasn't awful. Anyway, it was something that I would consider doing again, and maybe it'd be there. I don't know. Maybe you do that. Tell me about it, and I'll go to Long Beach and do the Long Beach or Catalina Island, because Catalina Island is off of the Long Beach coast, right?
Yeah, it's about 26 miles from L.A., and that's a tad bit warmer. But the coldest dive I've ever done, honestly, has been Hawaii. I've never done Catalina. I've always wanted to do Catalina.
Well, yeah, Hawaii can be cold, though, in the wintertime, right? What kind of temps?
Yeah, you're looking in like the 80s, I think, maybe.
Okay, that's cold enough. That's cold enough. Like I said, bathing suit, T-shirts, warm water wusses. Me and Eric cut from the same cloth. All right, hey, we got a lot to cover on today's big show, including the premiere of a new underwater IMAX film.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
And then I see a manatee whose life is ruled by destiny. The danger that he faces from a prop. And then it occurs to me, my life's just like that manatee's. I wanna get there, but there's danger at the top.
Well, there's Eric Stone right there. Once again, you pick up that song, The Jellyfish and the Manatee, there at boatsongs.com. It's also the soundtrack to our latest video at scubaradio.com. Eric's went back to work to perform, and he'll also play some music for some of the exhibitors and attendees here at the Miami International Boat Show. So we've moved on to the, beer tent? Is that what it is here, Scott? What is this?
You know, you have a boat show, and then you have the beer gardens.
And who do we run into? Fellow divers, of course, right?
Yeah, Ann Stadler, Daryl Stadler, Island Ventures, Key Largo, some of the greatest people on Earth, really. It's interesting. We were with Eric there earlier, and here comes Miss Ann. is that you, Scott? And I said, yeah, that's us. That's us. And so here we are, Miss Ann Stadler.
Hi, Ann. How you doing? Well, good to see you again. Last time we were together, we were diving the Thunderbolt wreck down there in the Keys, right?
Right. That's right. It was a great time.
It was a good time. Now, what are you doing here at the Miami Show? Are you exhibiting? Are you just hanging out or what? Or drinking?
We are having a good time. We just came down here for recreation, and we're in the beer garden for some
Well, you're on your surface interval and making the most of it, right?
That's right. That's right. We got some great weather for diving down in the Keys right now. It's like...
This is picture-perfect weather. So, yeah, you're Operation Island Ventures there in Key Largo, right? It's islandventures.com, is that right?
Islandventure.com.
Islandventure.com. Okay, we'll make sure we get that out there right away. Now, Scott, you had an interesting little story about Ann and their operation. That's how we kind of got connected, isn't it? Or what happened exactly?
Well, Ann Stadler, Captain Ann Stadler, I should say, and Daryl, they have Island Ventures right there at Sundowners. And in Key Largo, and I moved my boat there. I had my boat, my 34, ran my charter operation out of there when I first got down to the Keys. And I met Miss Ann, of course, between her, Daryl, and Roxy. You're talking about some of the nicest two people in dog there is. Now, Roxy is the dog, of course, but Roxy is, and that's another story to its own right. Roxy and I got very, I think I met Roxy first, okay? And then I met Miss Ann, and we started to, you just like her right away. You just do. And then she says, well, have you ever heard, because I was a radio guy, and I was doing the radio down here in the Florida Keys, and Miss Ann says to me, have you ever heard of that crazy guys on Scuba Radio? She says, I know those guys. You really ought to call Greg. So I said, that's a great idea. And I'm thinking, why in the world would we not have Scuba Radio in the Florida Keys? And I'm thinking, it's got to be on one of the stations down here. And I was at the time putting some new programming together for the stations that we have in the Florida Keys. And sure enough, I saw it and I said, this is perfect. So I went ahead and called, of course, Greg the Dive Master, and we hooked up right away, and before you know it, now him and I have just grown over the last couple years together, and it's been a great, great relationship, and Miss Anna, she's the one who brought us together. Greg, this is who set you and me up on our date.
All right, so anybody complaining in the Florida Keys right now, you can blame Ann at islandventure.com.
It's all my fault.
Exactly. Yes, I get to put the blame off on you, Ann, but no, you're a great dive buddy, and I really appreciate that, because that's cool, because you're right. It's a great match for the Florida Keys. We're on like two, three stations down there now because this little relationship that you had heard about Scuba Radio and just told your local radio station guy that you ran into about it. Next thing you know, bingo, here we are. And we're broadcasting all throughout the Keys loud and clear. So we thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, you're a great dive buddy. We had a fun time down there on the Thunderbolt. That was down in Marathon, though, right? And that's not really your neck of the woods where you typically dive. You had actually drove down for a little trip because we were coming down there to hang with Scott, and we got to dive together. But in your neck of the woods, what do you like diving most in Key Largo? Is it the Spiegel Grove? Is it the Duane, the Bib, or what?
I like the wrecks. I like the reefs. The Spiegel Grove is a fantastic dive. It's wonderful.
One of the funny things about Ann and I, we do a banner on the radio, and what I do with her is she is my, she loves the fish. She likes them alive, okay? She likes them alive to see them, and we like to catch them. Of course, we molest them and let them go is what we do. And I always ask her on the shows, I said, all right, Miss Ann, let's do it. I've got the spotlight over you. You're being interrogated. What was on, say, the Benwood, my favorite wreck there? And she would always give me that little, I want to know where the grouper were sitting. I want to know where the snapper were, if there was anything else on there, the bait was on there, and she'd always toy with me. She would never give me. She's totally, totally into conserving, I guess, the visual. I want to catch him.
She's a diver, and she wants to hang out with Freddy the grouper there down there on the wreck, and I don't blame you. You want to protect them. Yeah, they can go find their fish to go catch somewhere else. Don't screw with us divers, right, Ann?
That's right. That's right. And I've been hearing, Scott, that there's a big grouper hanging out on the Benwood.
Oh, no, that's an old wife. That's one of those captains tales, you know what I'm saying? They're the best liars other than divers in the biz. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No project's too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. Now, we have moved up slightly north from the Miami International Boat Show to cover an event that is really going to be cool. And I can't wait to fill in all the gaps for you folks listening at home, because a new IMAX film for divers especially are going to love this coming out. Howard Hall and Howard and Michelle Hall have put out a new IMAX film. They're world-renowned underwater photographers. It's what every underwater, you know, amateur underwater photographer, videographer would love to be. These guys are living the lives, and they got a new IMAX film. It's called Under the Sea 3D. Is that right, Howard?
Yep, that's the name of the film.
And they're doing the world premiere, or at least the South Florida premiere here. I guess it opens nationwide this weekend. Is that the case?
It opens nationwide today, actually.
Today, all right. And we are luckily, you know, we paid off a few doormen, and we were able to sneak into the Museum of Discovery and Science here in Fort Lauderdale and participate. Michelle, you guys just came back from L.A. from the West Coast premiere, or like the Hollywood premiere of this new film. Jim Carrey's the narrator. How did that all come about?
Well, we were really fortunate to get Jim. The folks at IMAX suggested him, and we thought, sure, why not? And he turned out to just be a wonderful choice. He has such a range in his expressiveness and in his abilities. Most people think of him maybe just as a comedian, but he has done a number of serious films, and he really brought that talent, that sensitivity to our narration, as well as being able to inject humor where we needed it and wanted it.
Excellent. Now, I'm really excited to see the film tonight. We're just about an hour away from going in and checking it out. Of course, you're going to get a full review. Captain Slate, Neil Watson, from all our South Florida friends in the dive industry are at this event. Howard, you know, you're known for the IMAX format. This is what, the third in 3D IMAX, or what's the status there?
This is my third 3D film. I've directed a couple of other films and been director of photography on four or five others. So I've been doing IMAX now for quite a while.
Yeah, it's impressive stuff whenever you see these films. Howard and Michelle Hall, they definitely give you something to aspire to as an underwater videographer. You know, I put myself in that category. I'm not quite up to their level, but we're going to find out what goes into this stuff next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hello, my name is Tami from Diver Magazine in Japan. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world first radio show devoted to diving.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I'm with Howard and Michelle Hall, They got the world premiere of their new IMAX film, Under the Sea. It's opening here in South Florida, the Museum of Discovery and Science. I'm sitting here with them right now before the movie shows, and some of our South Florida diving industry friends join us for this adventure. It is opening worldwide. I mean, we just heard from our one of our Japanese listeners, Michelle, but where else is it opening? All over the planet, or right now this weekend, or why?
Well, it's opening in 48 theaters around North America today, February 13th. And it will also be opening in Australia and Germany and eventually in Japan and France and Spain and basically worldwide.
Okay, and of course you can find out more about it at imax.com/underthesea, I believe is the website. So you can go there and check out some details on where it's going to, you know, show up at a theater near you, whether you're in the States or in Japan. Howard, you got to tell me, what is it like to take on a project like this? This isn't like me going on one of our little trips in the Caribbean with a little Sony Handycam and a housing and filming. I have a lot of fun doing that, and we've come up with some fun little videos on our own, but you're not taking down these little portable handheld units. These things are massive, super IMAX, 400-pound cameras? What is all this equipment all about? Is it fun? Is it tough? Or what?
Well, I wish the thing was 400 pounds. I think next year we're going to debut an IMAX 3D system that's just a couple of cell phones attached together with duct tape. But the resolution isn't quite there yet. And in the meantime, we're using a camera system that in the underwater housing weighs 1,300 pounds. And the whole 1,300-pound system runs for 3 minutes before we have to change film.
Wow, okay, so you got 3 minutes to get your shot. It's only 1,200 pounds, or what, 1,400 pounds?
1,300.
Okay, I was somewhere close, right? But it's huge, but it doesn't weigh anything underwater, I guess. That's the bright side?
It doesn't weigh anything underwater, but try to move it. You know, it's like being attached to a submarine. The whole thing is just massive, and controlling that mass, especially when there's any current or surge, is problematic. And just moving it, swimming with it, you really can't swim with it by yourself. You need two divers to push it, and much of the time we actually use a scooter to tow it to and from locations.
Nice. Now, when you rent the DVDs, when these things come out, you always have behind-the-scene footage, and it shows, you know, the cranes wrenching the camera out of the water, and it is a massive event to film this stuff. What about the 3D format? That must be crazy. When you're trying to, you know, I don't know, paint that picture in your mind's eye of what you want to capture on film. How does that play into this whole thing?
Well, the camera runs two 70-millimeter rolls of film through it. There's 2,000 feet of film that pass through the camera to capture that 3 minutes. And each roll of film passes behind its own individual lens, which simulates our eyes. The lenses are the same distance apart as our eyes. And when you're in the theater, what you're seeing is a 3D image. You put the polarized glasses on, and it's just like wearing a diving mask. You put the mask on, and you're underwater, and the animals appear to you in the same color. Unbelievable resolution. You can see every little scale. You can see the pupils of their eyes, every hair. You see all kinds of detail. And then they appear in the same proximity. They appear to be the same distance away from you in the theater as they were from the camera when we were underwater.
Well, I would imagine that's quite rewarding as a filmmaker to capture that and bring that experience home to the viewer. And man, I'm excited. I cannot wait to go in and see this. And what we're going to do is view the film and get some people that have seen it. You know, Neil Watson, Captain Slate, and some of our industry friends are going to be here. And we're going to talk to them and talk about what we've seen. I know it's going to be exciting. Howard and Michelle Hall, my guests, we're going to see the movie. You got a Dan tip coming up, and we'll check in with you after the movie. Stay close.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. peak performance buoyancy and the navigation specialty course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 204. Whale sharks are neither whales nor sharks. Wait, apparently whale sharks are in the shark species. The largest sharks.
You genius! You've done it again!
Thanks, writers, you idiots. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How you doing today, Jeff?
Feeling great, Greg.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. Why?
Well, sometimes divers aren't quite sure how they're feeling or why they may be feeling that way.
You mean like when they're not feeling quite right and aren't sure whether they're experiencing decompression illness?
Exactly. I was wondering if you could help us with that. Want to run through how divers can recognize DCI?
Absolutely.
Let's start with what DCI actually is.
DCI is decompression illness, which is actually an umbrella term that includes both decompression sickness and arterial gas embolism. Decompression sickness, or DCS, is caused by nitrogen bubbles that form at depth and expand as the diver ascends. The expansion causes circulation blockage, which in turn produces symptoms that indicate a problem. An arterial gas embolism, or AGE, is when the lungs overexpand and force air bubbles into arterial circulation. From there, AGE can enter cardiac or cranial circulation and produce symptoms that mirror heart attacks and strokes.
Why the umbrella term? Why not just know whether you're dealing with decompression sickness or an arterial gas embolism?
Because the signs and symptoms of both are really similar, as well as the first aid treatment. Medical professionals will need to diagnose which specific form of DCI they're treating, but there's really no difference as far as rescuers and first aid providers are concerned. So rather than waste time trying to differentiate between two conditions that follow the same first aid protocols and need for medical treatment, we're encouraging divers simply to focus on recognizing the signs and symptoms of overall decompression illness.
So what are the signs and symptoms?
Some of the more common signs include numbness and tingling, joint or muscle pain, headaches, dizziness, fatigue, nausea, difficulty walking, or altered skin sensation.
If I went by that list, I think I'd have DCI after every dive. I mean, I'm always tired at the end of the dive day, and more than once I've been sore after toting tanks.
You're absolutely right, and you make a great point. Some of the signs and symptoms can be vague and a bit cryptic, but you have to think in terms of how you normally feel versus how you feel when the symptoms occur. Sure, most of us are tired after a dive, but if you're feeling fatigued to the point you can hardly move, or if getting some rest doesn't leave you refreshed, that's outside what you'd consider normal. Numbness and tingling are generally not considered a normal state, so again, consider that a red flag. Joint pain, yes, can be one of the trickier symptoms.
So how do you know?
Well, if the symptoms occur within 24 hours of your last dive, that's cause for concern. If you start first aid protocols and find the symptoms subside while on oxygen only to return when the oxygen is discontinued, that's another cause for concern.
Are there any other symptoms we need to be aware of?
Well, the list I gave you are the most common symptoms, but other DCI signals are rashes and itching, difficulty breathing, visual and speech disturbance, personality changes, hearing loss, paralysis, muscle twitches, and unconsciousness.
Yeah, I could see how someone passing that on you could be considered a sign of something's wrong.
It's one of the less cryptic symptoms, that's for sure.
Do you have to experience all the symptoms to have DCI?
No, and it's rare you'll experience more than a few. In fact, it's often only one or two symptoms that give you the hint that something is wrong.
So what happens if you do experience symptoms?
The first thing is to recognize that you're experiencing possible DCI symptoms. A lot of divers go into denial about it, but this is the worst thing you can do. The sooner DCI is diagnosed and treatment started, the better your chances of a full recovery.
In other words, don't let pride get in the way.
Do not let pride get in the way. There's absolutely no shame in DCI, and smart divers get help when they need it.
What kind of help will divers need?
Get on oxygen as soon as possible. The use of emergency oxygen has proven effective in helping to treat DCI, so if you have access to it, use it.
And then?
Get yourself to a medical facility or call Dan. The medics on our diving emergency hotline can help walk you through the steps you need to take and facilitate the assistance you need. If you know where to go, get Dan in the loop so we can support the medical staff. If you don't, we can find a medical facility for you. If you're not able to transport yourself to medical care, we can arrange that for you.
Does having DCI mean an automatic chamber ride?
No, it doesn't, but it might, so assume nothing.
Chamber rides aren't really as bad as you might think. I did one last time I was at Dan.
Yeah, I remember. Didn't you do it as part of your broadcast from depth?
Yeah, we did, but it surprised me how little there is to worry about. I mean, I think if you're not familiar with it, the prospect of having hyperbaric treatment sounds huge and scary and more trouble than it's worth. But actually, it's kind of cool and definitely nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. A lot of divers delay seeking treatment because they don't want to believe anything is wrong with them. They don't want to bother anyone. They think seeking treatment is a huge, dramatic deal, when the truth is that the professionals helping them are experts, and they'll do everything they can to minimize the drama for you. And it's why they're there, to help. So divers really should never hesitate to seek assistance if they need it.
Is there anything divers can do to avoid DCI?
Sure. Stay within your dive limits, do slow, safe ascents, do your safety stops, take your surface intervals, stay hydrated, get plenty of rest, and just take care of yourself in general.
Anything else?
Yeah. Remember that no diver, no matter how experienced or how careful, is immune to DCI. Any diver can experience it at any time. So if you start to experience signs and symptoms, don't guess and don't wait. Get yourself the medical care you'll need.
The signs and symptoms of DCI may be vague, but the steps to take if you experience them aren't. If you have any signs that you may have a case of DCI, do not delay. Seek medical attention and treatment. Smart divers know that the earlier they do that, the better off they are. So be one of the smart ones. Take care of yourself and encourage others to do the same. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, while you enjoyed that Dan safety tip, I've been enjoying the new IMAX film Under the Sea with Howard and Michelle Hall. Wow, that was phenomenal. It's 3D. Amazing. Barry, our South Florida correspondent for Scuba Radio, was in this little media premiere, too. What do you think? What did you think of that little presentation there, Barry?
Oh, that was a wild film. The photography was beautiful. The colors jumped out at you, and the fish came right up at you. It was the best movie he had ever done.
You know, I went to Australia at the end of last year, and a lot of this film was shot on the Great Barrier Reef. And I'll tell you what, I've never watched anything on film that came as close to actually being on a dive. And I felt like I was back there in Australia diving. I mean, what do you think? The animals just literally pop out of the screen, from the sea snakes to the sea lions. It's impressive, huh?
Yeah, and we don't have anything like that in this area.
So it's the next best thing, a 3D underwater film. IMAX.com/under the sea. You can check out all the info there. Hey, we got all our South Florida diving friends. Neil Watson is here. Captain Slate. We'll talk to him next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest.
That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Well, Joe, he's all smiles and fun till we get out on the sea. About the time the waves start rocking is the time his face turns green. Even when the weather's nice, no matter how smooth the ride, you'll always find my buddy Joe hanging off the side. So I said, Joe, while you're busy getting sick and heaving on the crew, I wanted you to know that I appreciate you too. I know that you get seasick, but I'm sure glad you come. You're not just my buddy, you're my chum. That's right. You're not just my buddy, my chum.
I tell you what, just watching that IMAX film of Under the Sea, if they would have done any more topside shots for longer than they did, I would have started getting queasy. It's that immersive in the whole experience here when you check out this new film, Under the Sea, with Howard and Michelle Hall at the Museum of Discovery and Science. Marlene Genetos is the VP of Operations or PR. I don't know. She runs this. Well, she's like the big cheese, the big kahuna. Right, Marlene?
Well, you could call it that. I like to say that I'm the VP of stuff.
Okay, VP of stuff. That's even more impressive. Now, you're also a certified diver. Last time we came down here, we had a big little dive event and at one of the premieres of their earlier IMAX films. And that inspired you to become a certified diver, did it? Didn't it?
It certainly did. In fact, it was one of Howard and Michelle's films. It was The Coral Reef Adventure, which came out about 4 years ago, I think, or 5 years ago. And after seeing that, I was just, like, so inspired. I thought, I got to do that. I need to be in the water. I need to find out what everybody else is seeing down there. And with this film, Under the Sea 3D, it is absolutely incredible. They have outdone themselves. The cinematography is outstanding. But not only that, they have used the 3D technology so well that this film will make you feel like you are in the water. And at times, you're going to feel like you're going to get wet. But it's all happening here at the Museum of Discovery and Science at the AutoNation IMAX 3D Theater, which is the biggest screen in South Florida. We have 15,000 watts of digital sound. It will blow your mind.
Yeah, it is impressive indeed. And I would suggest, if you just want to add one more little effect, just have somebody stand behind everybody in the audience and squirt them with a squirt gun. Throw them off just a little, because literally, this is the ultimate experience other than actually diving. They really are in your face, the marine life, the sea snakes, the sea lions, unbelievable stuff. Look, hour two is on deck. We're going to talk to some of the other people here, our friends in the dive industry from South Florida that were in this premiere as well. So stick around. We got a lot of great stuff on the way from the Museum of Discovery and Science. We're at the world premiere of Howard and Michelle Hall's movie Under the Sea, the IMAX 3D experience.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard,
blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.